Welcome to the Council of Trent podcast, a production of Catholic Answers.
If something tragic were to happen to me, the world, and especially Catholic Answers, would be at quite a loss without the Council of Trent podcast, right? So what is the answer to this risk? Well, what do you do when you worry about risk? You spread out your risk with insurance. And when you need strange and weird insurance, you call Lloyd's of London. And that's what we're talking about today here on Free for All Friday on the Council of Trent podcast. I'm your host, Catholic Answers apologist and speaker, Trent Horn. On Monday and Wednesday, we talk apologetics and theology, all the ways to defend and share our love of the Catholic faith. But on Friday, we take a little bit of a break from that, and we just talk about whatever I'm interested in talking about. And today, I want to talk about the weird insurance and risk assessment that comes from Lloyd's of London. So you might be vaguely familiar with Lloyd's of London, and I want to make you more familiar with it because I think it's just a weird, interesting thing. Another little bit of a factoid that at the very least, I hope that today's episode will help you, that perhaps one day you'll be in a pub trivia contest and they're going to ask a question. It'll be the final question. You realize, I remember on that Free for All Friday, it's Lloyd's of London. Trent Horn talked about that. So let's jump right into that. According to this article, Lloyd's was founded by Edward Lloyd, surprising, at his coffee house on London Tower Street in 1688. The establishment was popular with sailors, ship owners, and merchants, and Lloyd catered to them with reliable shipping news. Lloyd's Coffee House soon became known as a good place to purchase insurance to cover ships and their cargoes against the perils of the seas. And you know, the story of Lloyd's of London certainly starts out romantic, it was just a few hundred years ago. But mariners, people who are traversing the seas with, well, somewhat ancient equipment compared to us, I wonder if they still used sextants, for example, for navigation. Obviously, you don't have the modern navigation and safety devices we have today. So seafaring was a risky business. That's where joint stock companies came into play. And that was kind of the birth of modern capitalism, the stock market. You had these joint stock companies to spread the risk that if you, you know, had all of your business tied up in one ship and then it sank to the bottom of the ocean, like, well, your business is out of luck. But if you spread the risk among other people, you can do better. So Lloyd's is involved with that. And it sounds like, oh, wow, it's such a quaint little story to start off with. Then it takes a sharp turn. The shop was also frequented by mariners involved in the slave trade. Lloyd's obtained a monopoly on maritime insurance related to the slave trade and maintained it until the early 19th century. The Lloyd's website offers an apology for that role, saying in part, "We are deeply sorry for the Lloyd's market's participation in the transatlantic slave trade." So a little bit of a historical whoopsie, but that happened to a lot of people back then. The original Lloyd's Act, I think this was in the late 19th century, gave the business a sound legal footing. The Lloyd's Act of 1911 set out the organization's objectives, which include the promotion of its members' interests and the collection and dissemination of information. Today, Lloyd's has its headquarters on Lime Street in a building that opened in 1986. So Lloyd's is not exactly, it's not just an insurance company. It's not like Farmers or Allstate. It's not an insurance company. It is something that manages. I've tried to read it and I still don't quite understand what Lloyd's does, but thankfully I don't have to work in this industry. I'm always a little skeptical that a business is legit if I read about it and I don't entirely understand it. I mean, look, Free for All Friday, I'm not an expert on all this stuff. I'm just sharing what I think is interesting. They are involved in the, from what I understand of Lloyd's, and maybe somebody will write to me later. I always have someone who is a legitimate expert in these fields I cover on Free for All Friday. I'll do something on cave diving, and a master diver will email me, actually, this is what we do. And I'm actually grateful for that. So if you are in the insurance markets, if you're a financial person, and maybe you can help me understand this, that would be great. My understanding is that Lloyd's manages the buying and selling of insurance among its particular members that are called syndicates, which already starts to sound like it's some kind of a James Bond villain operation. Anything you have syndicates that are involved. But no, obviously syndicates are not a bad thing, all right? So they essentially manage a market for the buying and selling of insurance among other people that offer this. And through their services, you can purchase insurance clauses and other services for things that are highly unusual, though through most of it, that's a very small part of what they do. Most of what they do is help to furnish normal insurance transactions. They've been doing that for a long time, and they were some of the pioneers in some of this. So, for example, if you go back to 1904, Lloyd's was the first company to sell car insurance. So you still had cars back then. You had electric cars back then. So back in the late 19th, early 20th centuries, electric cars were seen as a luxury because ones that had internal combustion engines were very loud, noisy, difficult to start. The electric ones were just smooth and awesome. And now we've come full circle, and it's kind of that way again, right, with Tesla and things like that. So originally they thought electric cars were going to be the main thing until they finally came up with technology to make the internal combustion engines and gasoline-powered cars to be more affordable and reliable. But Lloyd's is the first to offer car insurance back in 1904. And in order to do that, they described the automobile as, quote, a ship navigating on land, you know, for, I guess, insurance purposes, because Lloyd's was primarily the conveyance that they primarily insured in the late 19th and early 20th centuries were ships. Okay. So to process it under everything that they did, they just called the car, I guess, a ship on land. And the company continues to be a leader in the realm of personal transportation. It's the exclusive insurer for Virgin Galactic, for example, if and when Sir Richard Branson's human spaceflight venture blasts off. Though they also insure, of course, other conveyances as well. In 1911, Lloyd's of London's underwriters issued the first aircraft policy in 1911. I don't know if they called airplanes ships of the skies, but I feel like an airplane, you could call an airplane a ship more than a car. A car is more like a boat. A car is like a boat on land. It's not a ship. It's not a ship. My first mate here in the passenger seat, it's like a boat. An airplane, though, especially if it's like one of those really big airplanes, that's like a magnificent ship of the sky. A dirigible, a Zeppelin, though. Now, that is really a ship of the sky, right? Definitely want to insure those after you see what happened with the Hindenburg. So the first aircraft policy was released in 1911, and the Lloyd's underwriters stopped releasing policies for airplanes 1 year later because airplanes were just so dangerous to fly in 1911. They were crashing so often. They realized it simply wasn't profitable for them, or the premiums would have to be astronomically high. You wouldn't insure airplanes. Anyways, they figured, you know, why not go back to safer ventures like insuring ships, for example. Imagine you say that in 1911. In 1912, you decide, you know what, we're not going to cover this. Let's go back to ships. Though, of course, what happened in 1912, right? A famous ship that was declared to be unsinkable ended up sinking. That'd be the Titanic. Now, January 9th, about, what was that, 4 months? Was in April, the Titanic went out. So February, March, April. It's 3 months before Titanic's maiden voyage. Broker Willis Faber and Company went to Lloyd's underwriting room to insure the Titanic and her sister ship, the Olympic, on behalf of the White Star Line. It was considered a prestigious risk, with cover for the hull alone standing at £1 million. Numerous Lloyd's syndicates put their names on the slip, covering amounts ranging from £10,000 to £75,000. Willis was able to negotiate a favorable premium for this proudly unsinkable vessel of just £7,500. Despite the high levels of claims arising from the tragedy, though, insurers were able to pay out the full amount related to the Titanic sinking within 30 days. I don't have notes about this on here, so maybe I will research it for a future Free For All Friday. But that wouldn't surprise me if this element of the disaster gave rise to some of the conspiracy theories related to the Titanic. So some of the conspiracy theories are that the ship was intentionally sunk in order to collect on this massive insurance policy. That's things that I've heard out there before. I'm not a Titanic denialist. I don't want to get canceled. I'm not just, you know, who's going to be out here? It's been over 100 years since the Titanic sank. We have to cancel Trent Horn. He's giving a platform for Titanic denialism. No, I'm just asking questions. No, obviously, I think the ship sank. I'll have to look into that that conspiracy theory for a future episode. But the fact that it was insured, they got a good deal on it because it was claimed to be unsinkable. Well, let me see what happened there. Let's go to more modern era to talk about unusual things that have been insured by Lloyd's of London. One of the things that they insure a lot, actually, are celebrities and famous people's body parts. When you look to see the unusual things that Lloyd's has insured, it tends to be famous people's body parts. And that makes sense, right? You can go to conventional insurance policy to cover your home, your car, your exotic collection of things. But for these more unusual items, you go to Lloyd's. Let's break down some of these categories. One would be hair. There have been celebrities that have, if their hair is really, really important to them, and not just actors or people like that. One would be Troy Amwa Polamalu. I don't listen to sports. I'm sure there's people who watch football. They're like, it's Polamalu, P-O-L-A-M-A-L-U, Troy P. I know I don't watch football. Give me a break, all right? He played exclusively for the Pittsburgh Steelers several years ago. He doesn't play for them anymore. But it says here that Polamalu's hair is one of the most distinguished, is one of his most distinguishing characteristics. That's one thing I do know. He's got this gigantic afro that is just amazing. And so it makes him easy. You can easily spot him on the field. On November 9th, 2010, while appearing on the Mike and Mike in the Morning Show, Polamalu said that his most recent haircut was 7 or 8 years prior. And actually in a game against the Kansas City Chiefs, he was actually pulled down by his hair in order to tackle him. Apparently, tackling the player by a hair is legal, but there was something that happened with that particular tackle that resulted in a penalty. P&G, I guess the company that was managing all this, paid for $1 million insurance policy from Lloyd's for Polamalu's hair. I mean, hey, he's got the luscious locks and he's in these shampoo commercials, famous football player. $1 million for his hair, according to the Guinness Book of World Records, highest insured hair. Other hair that's famous from Lloyd's of London, Merv Hughes, I think he's an Australian cricket player, had a mustache that was insured for £200,000. How much would Jimmy Akin's beard be worth? How much should it be insured for? I think it should be insured for a lot. That's something I definitely want to find out. Next body parts have been insured. Legs. A lot of celebrities get their legs insured. If something were to happen to their legs, an accident, stolen. I mean, things are, you know, always insure against something being stolen, right? And could you steal a pair of legs from somebody? I don't know. Not familiar with it. But it says Marlene Dietrich, Betty Grable. She was the pinup model from World War II era. Brooke Shields, Tina Turner, and Mary Hart's legs have been insured. But what do you think are the most valuable legs in the world? Whose legs are the most valuable? Whose legs are worth $52 million? Who has $52 million legs? See, I'm helping you out in case there is a pub trivia night or you're watching Jeopardy and want to keep up with your friends. Who's got $52 million legs? The answer, Michael Flatley, the Lord of the Dance, the Irish step dancer, right? He does River Dance, Lord of the Dance, according to this article. I've wrecked my body with the dance. My hamstrings are ruined. My groin is gone. This gets really graphic. My hamstrings are ruined. My groin is gone. And I've done irreparable damage to 2 points of my spine. So that's the toll it takes to be the Lord of the Dance. After all, it was only immense physical agony that caused Flatley to retire on top of a $200 million fortune. Flatley told, I think it was with the Daily Mail, that his legs were insured for about $52 million for decades, but the policy amounted to far less at the time of the interview. It's a very different sum, but it's very hard to get anyone to insure these legs. And I think the policy actually for Flatley said his legs were insured for $52 million. He was only insured when he was dancing for River Dance or Lord of the Dance, and he was not allowed to dance outside of his performances. Voices, that's an obvious one, right? If you're a famous singer, your voice is your main asset. You lose it, you can't really make any money after that, at least with singing. Toni Braxton, Celine Dion, Bob Dylan, Whitney Houston, and Bruce Springsteen's vocal cords are insured. Bruce Springsteen, the Boss, his vocal cords were insured for $3.5 million. Bodies, not just actors, people who need their bodies to do impressive work, especially wrestlers, have often had their bodies insured. Bryan Adams, Ric Flair, Bret Hart, Kurt Hennig, Rick Rude. But since 2017, I believe it's reported that Lloyd's no longer insures professional wrestlers. But there are other Lloyd's policies that are unusual, and not just for famous celebrities. It's for people who have unusual talents and abilities that are actually worth a lot to companies, that I have a unique set of skills. But these set of skills, one of them are taste testers. So you had people that work for particular food companies that just have, and there's people who have very precise senses of taste and smell. I remember my father-in-law took me a few years ago to the NASA office that he worked at, the NASA research facility in White Sands, New Mexico. Cool thing. I was so glad he took me. And he introduced me to one of the guys who worked there. The guy there had the most sensitive, like one of the most sensitive noses. I think it's been covered on television. And he is used to help test things like off-gassing. You know, if like, you know, when you unwrap something for Amazon or you buy something and it has like a weird smell that comes off of it, you know, the fresh plastic, you unwrap it. Well, you got to make sure that you don't have toxic or noxious smells from stuff like that. Because if it gets smells really bad in your room and you unwrap something, you just open a window, right? You can't open a window in space. Well, you can. It's not a great idea. So they have to really worry about what things smell like for astronauts and space equipment. And they had a guy there. He was known as the man with like the most amazing sense of smell to detect very fine distinctions in particular kinds of scents. So that made me think of that taste testers. There are lots of policies from Lloyd's for taste testers for company. Here's one example: Costa Coffee. Costa Coffee uses only one coffee blend, the Mocha Italia. It is an original secret blend the Costa brothers made, making the top coffee chain in London, taking over the world. Perfect balance of acidity and sweetness. And all the Costa Coffee drinks are made from this Mocha Italian blend. It has been Master Gennaro Pellica's job. It's Gennaro. You know that reference? That's Die Hard. It's not Lucy McClane. It's Gennaro. Master Gennaro Pellica's job to make sure that this exclusive recipe is consistent as it was since 1971. He's the official Costa Coffee taster. He's so good at his job, his tongue was insured for 10 million British pounds. Now let's get on to a weird one and a funny one. So the weird one are aliens. There's actually several Lloyd's policies that deal with aliens. One of them deals with Stanley Kubrick's. You remember his science fiction film, 2001, A Space Odyssey? So the film premiered in 1968, but according to The New Yorker, Stanley Kubrick grew so concerned that an alien encounter might be imminent that he sought an insurance policy from Lloyd's of London in case his story got scooped during production. And Kubrick says they definitely went to the right insurer. So the thing was that in the early part of the 1960s, you had the Mariner 4 spacecraft going to Mars, taking pictures of the planet. And Kubrick was worried that like his film would get ruined. People wouldn't be as interested in 2001 A Space Odyssey, talking about science fiction and all of that stuff, if aliens actually did come and visit Earth. So according to science fiction author Arthur C. Clarke, how the underwriters managed to compute the premium, I can't imagine, but the figure they quoted was slightly astronomical and the project was dropped. So that's one report, but I think it says another report says that Lloyd's of London declined Kubrick's alien invasion policy because they figured the probability of discovering aliens in such a short period in the mid-1960s was too small. So Kubrick did not get his alien invasion insurance policy from Lloyd's. But Lloyd's and other insurers have offered this. They've offered alien abduction insurance, that if you get abducted by aliens, I don't know exactly what the policies do, I guess. I mean, I guess if I get abducted by aliens, you know, so I make sure, come over, make sure my dog's okay. Like, I don't know. So they have these policies and people want to pay for it. All right. But one insurance policy is a syndicate that worked through Lloyd's that offered this. They decided to stop offering alien abduction insurance policies because of the Heaven's Gate suicide cult. It says, according to this article, the company that insured the 39 members of the Heaven Gates cult against abduction by aliens stopped writing new policies after their mass suicide last week. So you remember them, right? I think I've talked about them here on the podcast. They had the Nike shoes and they thought that if they committed suicide when the Halley-Bopp comet went by, they'd be taken away by a spaceship. So it said that the cult members bought a policy from this company for £1,000, $1,600, covered up to 50 members and would pay out £1 million per person for abduction, impregnation, or death caused by aliens. And the 39 of them, 39 took their lives at a home on the outskirts of San Diego several years ago. So then they decided they would no longer offer policies like that. Well, that's kind of a downer. So let's end this Free Fall Friday with something, you know, well, maybe something a little bit lighter. We have two unusual insurance policies related to comedy. One of them is from Abbott and Costello. So you know Abbott and Costello, comedy duo. Yeah, they have their bit, Who's on First? They're talking about a baseball game and the names of the players. It's a guy named Who is on first base. What is on second? I don't know is the name of the guy on third. Y is the guy in left field. Because is in center. Tomorrow is the pitcher. The catcher is named today. And the shortstop is named I Don't Care. And I mean, it's a wonderful bit that they do together. Do you throw the ball to first base? Then who gets it? Naturally. And he thinks, oh, the name is who? Or is it naturally? You got to listen to it. I'm butchering it if I do it this way. Just go look up who's on first. Just watch it for yourself. But Abbott and Costello actually insured that comedy bit because it's not funny without the two of them together. And they were worried that if their partnership ever came apart, they wouldn't be able to do who's on first anymore because they needed each other. So the policy to insure the value of the who's on first comedy bit was valued at $250,000 over 5 years. But they never had to use it. Although Abbott and Costello did eventually part ways when the IRS came after them for back taxes. And finally, according to lore, I haven't been able to confirm this, but sounds good enough to me. One comedy theater group insured themselves against the risk of a member of their audience dying from laughter because their comedy was just that funny. Did they really believe that, or did they have an ingenious publicity stunt? I don't know. I just share the stories. You decide. Hey, that was a fun free-for-all Friday. Thank you guys so much for listening, and I hope you have a very blessed weekend.
If you liked today's episode, become a premium subscriber at our Patreon page and get access to member-only content. For more information, visit TrentHornPodcast.com.